Psalm 139, one of the most sadful things in this generation of Christians is that so many Christians don't understand the depth of Christ's salvation, what He all obtained for us. They understand something about the cross and dying for our sins, but they've never taken the time out to examine Scripture in detail, in meditation and prayer, to really see the wonderful salvation that Christ has brought. The psalmist speaks of drawing water out of the wells of salvation with joy. And that's how you and I as Christians thrive in this barren world of sin, is by living in and through and by Christ. He's everything. To live as Christ, to die is gain, Paul said. Paul says, I've not apprehended. I've not fully understood. But I'm seeking for that which Christ apprehended me for. I want to know more about Him, His resurrection, His death, the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to be more intimately involved with Christ and know Him in an intimate and personal way. And that was in the book of Philippians 30 years after he was converted. Many claim Psalm 139 to be the greatest of all Psalms, even greater than Psalm 23. Possibly, some say, the greatest chapter in the entire Word of God, because its divine contents are unlike any other. David goes to a realm in Psalm 139, a spiritual level that the majority of believers knows very little of, but we ought to introduce, acquaint ourselves more with what David is speaking of in Psalm 139. The psalmist praises God for His omniscience. Big theological word. What does that mean? He praises God for His infinite and perfect knowledge of all things. Nothing escapes God's knowledge. God knows everything. Everything is bare and naked before Him to whom we have to do with. The psalmist praises God for that knowledge. And that not in regards of the universe in Psalm 139, but in regards of the psalmist himself. We will readily admit God knows all things. Ask the average Christian, does God know? Oh, God knows all things. Every time you talk to somebody about situations and trials and difficulties, they'll come out and flippantly say, well, yeah, but God knows all things. We'll concede that God knows all things, but I'm telling you, the depth the psalmist takes it to in Psalm 139 is something that you and I rarely do, but we ought to really practice it more often. You talk about coming to a divine truth that humbles man to the ground, to the dust, and exalts God. Think about how much God knows about you and I. Not just generally, but everything. We talk a lot about knowing God, and that divine truth echoes through Scripture abundantly about knowing God. This is eternal life, John 17. Excuse me. That they shouldest know thee and thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks always about knowing God, but have you ever stopped to contemplate, to seriously think and meditate and consider how much God knows you and I? Our deepest thoughts, our inward desires, that place where no one else sees but you and me, the intentions that we have, everything about ourselves, the way that we think, our affections, that God not only knows everything in the world and in the universe with a perfect knowledge, He knows everything about you and I. Intimately. Like Spurgeon says, He knows even the things we wish to do. O Lord, Thou hast searched me. That word means literally to dig. To investigate. Lord, we're talking about, He uses Lord Sovereign. He's saying, God, You have searched me. Have you ever considered being under the scope of God, being under the magnifying glass of God, the Almighty, and let Him open up to Himself all the intents of our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and our affections? David said, God, You've searched me. You've literally digged. You've investigated me. And I love how he ends it. And You know me. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that terrorizes the unconverted. That God would know so much about an individual that even your thoughts are not secret to God. They're as loud as ever. Even those deep down inward thoughts that you'd never share with another individual. You'd be too embarrassed to share with another human being. God hears them loud and clear. That terrorizes a sinner. But David breaks forth in praise in verse 6. Such knowledge. Look what he says here in verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's astonishing. It's too wonderful for me. Oh, that we might meet Christians that don't act like they know everything about God, but are amazed and wondered and astonished at God. Too wonderful for me. It's astonishing. It's too high. I can't comprehend it. It's above my comprehension. I can't attain it. I can't grasp it. I can't understand it. All the Christians would get to that point in their life with God again. We would enjoy so much more about Christianity and God and fellowshipping with one another if we would get back to the point that we are nothing and God is everything. Think about that for a minute, because I can't think for you. He who telleth the number of the stars. Jackie, we talk about that a lot. Look it up into heaven. He tells the numbers. He calls them all by name. His wisdom is infinite. This same God has searched me and known me. Do me a favor. You want to grasp this? Tonight, go out if there's no clouds and look up into heaven where there's no lights and look at all the stars. God knows them all. He's named them all. He's infinite wisdom. That same God that has that much knowledge knows intimately who you and I are. One would think that such divine truths would cause the psalmist to shudder and tremble with great fear and dismay. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, says Ecclesiastes 7. And if we're honest with ourselves, the first impression we have when we consider that is, oh me, oh my, that God knows me. We hide things well to the people around us. We hide things well to our spouse. We hide things that nobody knows about. But if you ever considered God knows it, and I like how Spurgeon said it, He even knows what we wish for. He knows what we wish for before we wish for it. That's a very solemn and sober thought, isn't it? Like what an old preacher said, and this psalm is like this, in simplicity we find the sublime. And it's simple, but it's sublime. And David is grasping. David takes this entire psalm, and I'm going to take a few weeks to go through this psalm a little bit. David goes through this whole psalm. He even gets to the part about darkness. He said, there's no darkness with thee, even though I'm in the darkness. God, you're there. You're light. There's no darkness to thee. Where shall I go from thy presence? Shall I go to heaven? You're there. Shall I go to the deepest hell? You're there. I can't escape your presence. Not that he'd want to. But what a reassurance that is to know that God goes everywhere I go. God sees everything I see. You know, this past week, though I'm very familiar with this passage, when I was studying it every morning before I go to work this past week, every morning I was praying, Lord, let this divine truth be evident, be conscious before me throughout the day, that you're seeing everything I'm doing, everything I'm saying, the way I treat people, the way I think, what I'm doing, where I'm going, how I'm responding, how I'm acting. Help me to be aware that you're taking notice of everything. God's not saying, okay, I'm going to be right back and I'll look at you later. No, and we're going to see that later, but God knows everything, every second of the day, everything that I'm doing. I said, Lord, help me to be a... And you know what? My daily life changed. There was a blessedness to that, knowing that God has never taken an eye off of me and never will. Oh, that we would meditate on these things like David. Causes him to break out in the greatest wonder, praise, and adoration. Oh Lord, thou searched me and known me. You know who I am. You know where I'm at. You know where I'm going. You know where I've been. We believe in God's knowing all things, but we need to believe and trust and have faith and rejoice in the fact that God knows everything about us. Let me show you how he starts this morning, because we have the Lord's Supper. I want to just start on this. Look in verse 1. O Lord, thou that searchest me and known me, thou hast searched me and known me, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off. He begins with the simplest, most common things in life. My down-sitting and my uprising. What does he mean by that? You know me. You will know me when I lie down to rest. You know me when I get up. You know me when I'm taking time off. You know when I'm resting. You know when I'm active in life. You know my down-sitting and you know my uprising. You know everything about me. So why is that important? Because a lot of times, sometimes Christians get this feeling that God's too busy to even notice what I'm doing, or that God doesn't take attention to what I'm doing. It's hard for us to understand that God is everywhere at one time. God knows me when I'm lying down and resting. He knows me when I get up. He's there when I go to sleep. He's even there when I'm sleeping. Why do you think that little child's prayer that they pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. God even knows we're asleep. God is even sitting right there at our bedside, if I could use that term, while we're even sleeping. There's not one thing that you and I do that God does not know. Now you multiply that by billions in the world. And not only that, he's got to take care of creation. Job says he tells every wave how far to go and when to turn back. He keeps the stars in the heavens. He knows all the pebbles and sands. He knows every bird. He knows even the hairs that fall out of our head. He's a pretty big God if he can do all that at one time. But that big God has searched me and known me. To me, as a believer, it's the greatest comfort and encouragement I have in everything. That God knows me. You say, preacher, but if he knows you, he knows your faults and weaknesses. Yes, he does. Are you following me with the great work of salvation Christ has given us? Could you imagine even stating these words without the work of Christ being applied to the psalmist? Devastating. But Christ has brought us into such a relationship with God that now we can say, Lord, and David does at the end of the chapter, search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and cleanse me from all trans. Why does he say that? Because in Christ he can. Yes, I've got mistakes. Yes, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, God, you know me intimately. You're acquainted with me in every way. Proverbs says the eyes of the Lord are in every place. You say, yeah, I believe that. Do we live it? in every place. I like how an old preacher said one time that it's not what we profess to be publicly, it's what we are privately that defines us as Christians. What about the secret chambers of our home? In our minds and our hearts? If a sparrow shall not fall on the ground without your Father, that's what it says in Matthew 10. And what that means, if a sparrow fall not on the ground without your Father, that means the Father tells it when to fall, where to fall, how to fall, everything. It's not just God says, okay, fall. God says, no, fall now, fall there, fall at this time. That's how much His perfect knowledge is. God knows when a sparrow falls. He tells it when to fall. I'm telling you, this is an amazing thought that will overwhelm you if you consider that God is in control of everything. Every single leaf that falls, it falls because God says so. Every single bird that falls is because God says so. Every hair that falls out of your head falls because God said so. God is in ultimate control of everything in the universe down to the intimate. And He takes that same omniscience and He puts it or applies it towards me as a believer. He said, I know everything about you too. Nothing you can hide from me. Nothing you can keep secret. You know my down sittings and my uprisings. Thomas, things in life. But He takes it further in verse 2. He takes it deeper. Listen to what He says. And this is what I want you to catch this morning. Verse 2. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought. Far off. Now I want you to notice the difference in the wordings. He says in verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought. You need to catch that. He doesn't say, you know my thought. He said, you understand it. Why is that so important? Well, let me give you an example of that. Okay? You remember when Peter denied the Lord 3 times? Remember the Lord told Peter before He denied Him 3 times? In Luke 21, He said, you're going to deny Me 3 times. He said, but I prayed for your faith when you converted. Strengthen your brethren. God told him before. The Lord told him before. Remember when He met Peter in John 21? And He asked him 3 times, Peter, do you love Me? Peter, do you love Me? And the third time, He asked him, Peter, do you love Me? You remember Peter's response? He was a little grieved because He asked him 3 times. Maybe something to do with the 3 times denial. But the third time he was grieved. You know what Peter's response was? Lord, Thou knowest all things. You know I love You. Follow me now, okay? Peter denied Him 3 times. Bible said he went out wet bitterly. I'm sure the disciples caught wind of that. I'm sure Peter was confused by it. I'm sure the disciples, Peter probably thought, were judging him or condemning him. People didn't understand what he did. Peter didn't understand why he did what he did. You ever been in that situation where you've done things you've regretted? You didn't know why you did it, but your intentions were good. Your intentions were right, but it just messed up. You stumbled and messed up. And nobody you thought understood. Peter said, God, I don't comprehend why I did what I did. The disciples maybe judged me for it. People's probably criticizing me for it. But Lord, You told me before it happened, so now I'm convinced You know all things. Lord, You know all things. You know deep down in my heart, I love You. This is the comfort we have with what the psalmist is saying. Regardless of what other people may think, regardless if our intentions fail, regardless if our efforts meet rejection, God knows the deepest intentions of our heart. And that's what He looks upon. You know my thoughts. You understand my thoughts far off before it even begins. Well, this is one of the greatest comforts for every true believer. Because sometimes, like I said, like Peter, the things that we do doesn't appear to be accepted by people. The things that we're going through, our sorrows, our griefs. You ever talk with somebody who says, well, I understand your sorrow, and they've never been through it? And you said, no, you don't. You know, you've never been through it. You don't understand it. And it's hard to explain what we're going through. It's hard to put words into our mouth. It's hard to put feelings into words. It's hard to express ourselves. We can't do that. God knows my thoughts afar off. You ever been in that position in life where you couldn't really explain yourself or what you're going through, but when you prayed, you just knew God understood? What comfort and peace brought to the believer, knowing that maybe other people don't understand, they can't grasp it, but God, you do. You know my thoughts. Before I even think it, God, you know it. Everywhere I go, God, everywhere I go, everything I do, everything I say, everything I think, God, you know it, and you know it constantly. There's nothing hid from you. You know all things about me. That's why verse 1 locks out every unconverted, because they can't get past verse 1. But David says, no, let me go into detail with this. God has searched me. He's digged. He knows me. This is how much he knows. And he begins to go through this whole thing. You besettest me on every side. You are acquainted with my past. You know where I'm going. Even Job said the same thing. He said, I look to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back. I've observed God's providence. I've tried to understand why God's doing what he's doing. I can't figure it out, but he knows the way that I take. And when he's finished with me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows the way that I take. A continual awareness of God's presence is what gives you and I the desire to live more faithfully for God. You follow me? It helps us against sinning and temptation to know that God sees everything and knows everything. But it greatly comforts us when we can't explain what we're going through to any human being. And the greatest example of that was our Lord in the garden, when the disciples fell asleep, proving and showing that the Father even took all human comforts away from Christ. He said, could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? Why'd God do that? He took everything away from Christ, every human comfort Christ could ever wish for and long for. He even took the 3 strongest disciples and took them off to the side, hoping and praying that at least they could encourage him and strengthen him. Why? He was just as much man as God, yet without sin. And God allowed him to have no comfort from any human being. He had to look solely to God. You know what that God? That's exactly what God does to us. God will purposely remove all human comfort so that we might turn to God in a way we've never turned before. That we would look to God like we've never done before. I'm not going to allow them to comfort you. I'm not going to allow you to get any comfort from anybody but me. Why? I'm the God of all comfort. We need, as God's people, to be ever living in awareness of God's presence in our lives every day, every second of the day, every moment of the day, no matter what we do. That God is there, He sees, He knows, and that should encourage us, and that should cause us also to live more diligently for Christ. Amen. Thou hast searched me, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. I pray that God would impart that upon us. I want to kind of look a little bit more deeper the next few weeks, because we have the Lord's Supper this morning, but I want to look a little bit deeper at some of these things He expresses, because they're great comfort for us. Read through the whole chapter. It's amazing. Amazing. He said, your thoughts towards me are wow. How can we read God's thoughts? It starts with Scripture. Your thoughts towards me are amazing. Amen. Read Psalm 139. Try to do what David does. Amen. Meditate on it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful psalm. Lord, we pray that this morning is just the beginning of our giving as much effort as David in meditating and thinking upon your knowledge, that you know all things infinitely and perfectly. There's nothing hid from your eyes. Everything is bare and naked before thee. Father, I pray that, Lord, we'd find great comfort in that. And Father, I pray at the same time that we'd be humbled by that. And Lord, we'd be, Lord, stirred up in our hearts to live more diligently and faithfully for thee. Lord, I pray that you bless now this time, the fellowship. We pray that you bless the Lord's Supper. Bless us through this week. Bring us back next week. Father, we pray for our dear sister, Lavera, for Brother Don Harmus. We pray, Father, Lord, for Betty. Pray that you'd watch over them, keep them. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to...